Craig Emerson. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, I've read the summary of what you've decided to do. So you make adherence to the code mandatory and you increase the fines. Is that it?
No, it's a 78-page document, and I don't think we'll get through all that in the discussion we're about to have. But the guts of it is to change the voluntary code to a mandatory code, which is enforceable by the competition watchdog, the ACCC. As one of the former chairs of the ACCC said about the voluntary code, it's like having speed limits, you know, 80 kilometres an hour, but if you break them, there's no penalty. And so it was kind of a, I liken it to the competition watchdog being a dog out on the back porch chained up in the dark. But now with a mandatory code, it can be enforced via the ACCC, but it does have to take court action. It can't just say you're fined, you know, like I suppose a traffic cop might do. You do have to go through the courts, but then at least that creates a fear on the part of the supermarkets if they're treating their suppliers badly.
So is that what it's about? It's about supermarkets treating, what, farmers badly?
Yeah, suppliers more generally. So, you know, in the case of, I'll give you an example of farmers, they don't sell their lamb or beef straight to the supermarket, it goes through a processor. So the fundamental problem is that the supermarkets have a lot of bargaining power and most suppliers have very little. And so there's always a temptation on the part of the supermarkets to screw the local suppliers down as hard as they can. And that means, from the point of view of supermarket shoppers, that those local suppliers don't have the money to be able to invest in new ideas, new innovations, new technologies to drive their prices down or and or increase the quality of their products.
But how would you decide if a supermarket was screwing a supplier? I mean, you know, is it that the price of something like, you know, milk a few years ago was only a dollar a litre? I mean,
No. We're not going to be price SARS or anything like that. It's the behaviour that I'm talking about. And the behaviour might include some of these things where a supplier says, well, gee, you know, you're cutting the price for me, even though we agreed a price in the grocery code of conduct and in the grocery agreement with each other, and you're unilaterally just cutting the price and driving me to the wall, but that sort of thing.
But I'm not sure suppliers and retailers are allowed to agree prices. I mean, I worked in retailing for a while, and that was a big no-no. It was up to the retailer to decide what they would sell it for.
I'm not talking about the price that they sell it for. I'm talking about the price that the supplier gives it to them.
Now,
how are you going to have a contract if there's no price with respect to them? I mean, there's got to be a price agreed by the supplier to the supermarket for the product that the supplier provides.
All right. So as consumers, once this filters through and it becomes mandatory and you have the threat of big fines, what do you think as consumers, and we're all consumers of the supermarket, what it does for us, what will we notice?
What it can do and what I expect it to do is to give the suppliers at least enough of a return that they still need to compete, right? This is not, life in the happy lane for suppliers, but to have enough money to invest in the latest technologies to reduce their prices, their costs, and therefore their prices, and or increase the quality of their products. Now, that's good for the suppliers, also good for, you know, those who like to see stuff made in Australia. And that can flow through to the consumers, so it's directly beneficial to the consumers.
But how does the ACCC decide that?
It sounds like you're deeply skeptical.
Well, I just don't know. Does someone from the ACCC say, you know, I'm going to sample these lamb chops and they're a bit better than they were last year, hence everything's going well?
Not for the ACCC. For goodness sake, this is a weird interview. Firstly, you start saying to me that it's illegal for suppliers to negotiate a price with supermarkets. I mean, that is one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. Now you're saying that the ACCC will go around and deciding eat lamb chops and decide whether the quality is improved. It'll be the customers who decide that.
Yeah, but it's the ACCC. Well, sorry, you said the ACCC is the one that has to bring in action against the supermarkets.
Yes, for bad behaviour, but not going around tasting pork chops.
Well, it was lamb chops. Anyway, we'll see.
Chops.
Well, is the federal government going to follow your recommendations?
They put out a statement saying they're very, you know, they're supportive of it. Now, there's eight firm recommendations that won't change, and another three on which we're seeking further advice. And so the report will be finalised by the 30th of June, but these eight won't change. So it gives the government something to focus on already.
Okay. Now, I know in a previous life, I think you were a staffer to Bob Hawke, and I know that our new Governor-General, Sam Mostyn, had a similar role with Paul Keating. Do you know her personally?
I do. Not on an everyday basis. I think she's a very decent person.
Is it slightly odd that someone who's anti-Australia Day and pro-the Republic wants to be the Governor-General?
It's not unprecedented, and I heard the last part of your conversation with a caller, and that was in relation to Bill Hayden. And I was working for Bob Hawke at that time, and I think you acknowledged that Bill Hayden, once he was the Governor-General, discharged his duties with great distinction.
He did. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Dr. Craig Emerson, their former Labor Minister and independent reviewer of the Food and Grocery Code of Conduct.